Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
All right, so we're back with another podcast today. This one is pretty much going to be a CMA recap. Sound right?
Mm-hmm.
So Erin decided she wanted to eat a chocolate bar right before we started recording. Is it a chocolate bar?
Yeah, it's a little Snickers almond. Here's the thing. I don't eat much during the day, and I've had, a lot of anxiety for whatever reason. Well, I know some of the reasons, but it doesn't make me want to eat. And now I'm like, you know what? Let's have a little snack.
And a little background. Right before we turned on the microphone, you walked around here and you're like, I think I'm going to eat some chocolate and some popcorn. No, candy and some popcorn. Yeah, I'm going to have both.
Yeah, and it makes it sound like I have PMS or something, but no. I already have my PMS.
I thought about just popping a five-hour energy right now.
Hey.
And just see what happens like through the course of like...
this talking? Oh, my God.
Because I listened to our original CMA brought, like our CMA... When the nominees were announced, we talked about
our predictions.
Our predictions. There you go. And I was talking really fast. And I think I talk fast anyways, but I was like, man, Nick, were you on something? Were you like...
Maybe it was a five-hour energy. You're like, woo.
It might have been. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to have a sugar rush, I feel like I should have a sugar rush. But
if I talk with my mouth full, you know why.
Did you watch the entire CMA Awards?
I did. And, I thought it was pretty good. There were some great performances. I can't think of anything that, like, I didn't think any of the performances were bad. I mean, they all sounded pretty good.
Well, I'll go on record, and I'll say that I thought it was the best award show I think I'd ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that cover to cover, it was really, really outstanding. Like, I thought all the performance sound, there weren't any sound issues, and I feel like I run into a lot of times, like I'm watching the AMAs or one of the other ones, you know, some of those award shows, and you're like, man, are they even singing? Like,
there was one sound issue with Garth Brooks when they did the dive bar. At the very beginning, his mic wasn't working.
Oh, I didn't catch that part. Mm-hmm. But that was towards the end. I started fading. Like, goodness, I can hang on as long as I can, but 3 hours is a long time.
It's quick moving, so, I mean, I never felt bored watching
Also, at
it.
That same time, the Rockets were playing, and it was getting down to the clutch, and so I was flipping back and forth. And I went over to the Rockets game real quick, and Doc Rivers was being ejected, Austin Rivers is on our team on the Rockets, and so he was like... taunting his dad, and so that was also like towards the end of the awards show. So I was kind of back and forth, but
yeah, no, I thought it was good. Some surprises.
Well, I'd say the main surprise was the one that we got every right, we got every prediction correct except for the new artist, and that was the surprise, at least for me.
Yeah, I think it was a surprise even for the other nominees, because I don't know if you noticed. Mark Weistrach, I think he thought they were going to win because the camera set on them, you know, they got the little boxes and everybody's in their little box. And you can see Mark Weistrach start to unbutton his jacket like he's going to have to get up and, you know, go up the stairs.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. And then it's like he starts to unbutton it and they're like, Ashley McBride. He's like, oh, and he takes his hand off his button and like starts clapping and turning around. I was like, he totally thought he was going to win, which, I mean, I would have thought him or Morgan Wallen for sure. But
that's, I mean, that's where we were at. And when I listened to our recap, we were there. We thought Morgan Wallen or Midland. But I think Ashley McBride has, she's emerged from those artists who didn't get necessarily country radio airplay.
She's kind of like the Kacey Musgraves, you know.
Style. Yeah, well, I think
I'm saying Kacey Musgraves hasn't had a ton of support at radio. And as to, you know, like at this moment, Ashley hasn't necessarily. So I think she's kind of, but, you know, maybe things will start changing for her. But.
Yeah, when I say style, I mean style in the industry. They made a name for themselves musically without the backing of country radio per se.
Yeah, I get, like, what you're saying.
There and was some country radio help, I'm sure, around the country.
Around the country, I think she got a little bit, but it was nowhere near like other artists have been getting.
Yeah, so, like she didn't get the, you know, widespread radio covers like Maren Morris got or Carrie Underwood gets or even Miranda Lambert for that mm-hmm. matter. But I think that's changing.
And her new song, I think, is fantastic. So, because it is straight up real life.
And
so.
And she's coming to Tin Man Jam, which is super awesome, too. Yeah. So it was great timing for us. You know, and I think we have to address also the fact that Cody Johnson didn't win. And I think a lot of people who probably listen to this podcast or are listeners of The Bull were a little brokenhearted about it. But and they're probably stunned, like, why is he in the new artist category? Because
he's been around forever. And it's like, well, you got to think in the terms of Nashville, that he has not been around the scene, you know, for them all that often or all that long. And also, I mean, he could also be nominated for Best New Artist again next year.
Or Best Male Vocalist or Best anything, really.
And I think, because I want to say there was a couple years in a row where Justin Moore, I think, was up for that award. And I was like, wait, he was already nominated for that one and he didn't win. And then the next year he won it. And I want to say I had heard that you can win, you can get nominated more than once until you win or something. It was like something ridiculous.
Well, and the way I thought about it was Cody Johnson maybe doesn't win that award, but let's be real. If you're from this area, if you're from Houston, Huntsville area, and you've been following him his whole career, it's not like he's going to stop performing around here. Like, as locals, you could be disappointed he didn't win the award, but I guarantee you, A, he's not disappointed, and B, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like nothing changes other than your disposition in the moment. So
yeah,
don't even let her.
Yeah. He's still got plenty of time. We don't need to worry about
That's right. Yeah. Like, it's a long run.
It's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
You know, that's because I saw Parker McCollum was at the awards show too. And I hope that in his mind he was looking at it like, man, one day I'll be here. But understand it may take you 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, think about it. I mean, there are plenty of people that we play on the radio that don't go or get even nominated, right?
And we
think
play of like Billy Currington. We play the heck out of his music, and he didn't get nominated.
He never gets nominated.
Yeah.
You know, Jake Owen never gets nominated.
Kane Brown,
Brett Eldridge never gets nominated. Like, there's so many artists that don't ever get nominated. Look at Scotty McCreery. You know, he's got millions of fans,
tons of
hit songs, never gets nominated.
Yeah,
so
and it's just
like,
kind of the way of the world in respect to award shows. It's just a different voting base. It's different parameters. And at the end of the day, it's an award show among friends is the way it seems to me, because every artist thanked everyone in the room because they all knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all a community together, and they're all a big family. And so
they're neighbors.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're literally neighbors. You know, I guess we move on to the next big moment. So it started off with the ladies, you know, doing the, you know, giant tribute. I thought that was super awesome open. I was a little hesitant at first, but I was blown away.
And here's the thing. This is what I was thinking when I was watching it. I thought it was super awesome, but how did they have, okay, so say for instance, they had Sarah Evans, you know, sing a part of her song. And I think of all of the women in country music, I mean, not that I don't think of her, but I think of Faith Hill. She was really big around that time.
She wasn't out there.
And she wasn't out there, you know. And then Trisha Yearwood, also really big.
She was there.
She was there. She didn't perform. Like, so how did they come up with the list of women or, you know, of who they thought should be performing? Because it's like, I can think of so many artists around, you know, the guy Dina Carter. She presented.
Krause.
I didn't see her. Dina Carter was a presenter. But she had one of the biggest songs of the 90s, Strawberry Wine.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, you know, so I think that my whole thought the entire time was that whoever directed the show had a really, really good ear for the way things flowed together. I thought in the back of my mind the entire time I kept thinking about whoever the director was did a great job mm-hmm. of the show. And so I think that they were marrying voices and a lot of times you can put these collaborations together and the voices just don't marry very well. But sonically, I thought that all those voices complemented each other. There wasn't a time where, you know, because they were all super powerful voices. But even when Led Freedom, Martina McBride came out, I was like, she didn't even get the solo that I thought, you know, there was this big moment, there's a big note, well, and she shared the solo with, she sang a little bit of it, but then everyone came together on the big note.
Yeah.
And so they
keep in mind, though, they came together on her song. They didn't come together for anybody else's song. I mean, it was like little chunks here, and then everybody finished out with her song. So I think that's a pretty big one, Shania Twain.
Yeah, I thought that was the same thing. And then the AMAs, American Music Awards, used Shania Twain as their promo for their show coming up, their award show.
I thought that was telling. Shania Twain wasn't even there, and she was like huge in the 90s.
You know what I think it is? Huh. I think it's record label politics.
And you think so.
And I only say that because I'm reading Tim McGraw's book right now. You mentioned Faith Hill.
Yeah.
And Tim McGraw goes into detail, not too much detail. He goes into, he touches the surface, better way to put it. I guess he does go into a lot of details, but he touches the surface about his relationship with the record label really being trying on his personal life. And that he was in a ugly fight with the label at some point, apparently.
I don't think he's still with him. But I think at one time he was with Curb Records, and I think that's probably...
He wanted some freedom. He has some creative freedom. And so I think that there's a chance that maybe somehow there is an inner political thing. Because Miranda Lambert was performed by herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wasn't included in the big group either.
And Maren Morris performed by herself, but also performed in the big group.
Yeah.
It's just interesting how... It's like certain people are included, certain people are excluded.
Or maybe they didn't want to do it.
Yeah, or maybe Tim's got his like book tour that he's doing right now. He wasn't going to go to the awards, and Faith's like,
I'm cool staying home on this one. Thank you all for the invite, or hey, I'm not really into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so be it. And then the other performance that I guess stands out in my mind was the Kacey Musgraves, Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was the one I was thinking of. And why did it stick out for you? Because I'm going to see if it's...
So, by the way, I just drank the 5-hour energy.
God, here we go.
Yeah, but all right. First off, the elephant in the room is Willie Nelson's health.
Oh, yeah.
I think everyone
is ironic because you know he's supposed to be coming to Sugarland and doing a show at the Smart Financial Center.
He's got a couple shows coming up. He's still touring.
Yeah, no.
First thing first, I believe that most of his tours, he's not actually singing. It didn't seem like he had the energy to actually sing and be up there. It looked like it was tough for Willie Nelson to be up there behind the mic playing the guitar and singing.
Well, I would say I don't think that's a new thing. I mean, remember when he was here at the rodeo a couple years ago?
I missed the performance, but I heard it was just a track.
No, it wasn't just a track. I went to that performance, and when the stage started moving... You could see frail little Willie Nelson. Like, I mean, I think there was a lot of us that were like, oh my God, is he going to fall? Because it kind of jerked and he went like kind of wobbled for a second. And it's like, maybe Willie, you have a chair. And
hey,
sit
Phil
on the
Collins
chair.
Sits down?
Yeah. Like, I mean, let's get him a stool or maybe a Barca lounger. I mean, heck, the boys from Old Dominion last year at rodeo, the guy broke his leg or whatever.
He
sat on a throne or something the entire time. So maybe we need to do something like that for poor Willie because you could see... Did you watch Kacey when she walked up to him and she kind of petted him?
Yeah, well, I thought that that was my other thought with it is... I felt like she felt a responsibility to carry him
mm-hmm.
in the performance. I kind of get goosebumps a little bit thinking about it. Because, like, if there was anybody else, like, I don't think anyone else could have done that besides Kacey and made it so special.
Voice is just...
Angelic. It was soft. It was, like, comforting. It was like, I feel like she is comforting Willie Nelson with her voice.
I tweeted last night. I'm like, okay, I'm going to say it. Kacey Musgraves has the voice of an angel. Like, I know my boyfriend, he's like, Aaron, she's the voice of an angel. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And, you know, I know he's being funny. But at the same time, I'm like, she's got such a unique voice that is so unlike, I think, any other female in country music. Because everybody sounds amazing. But she's just got this, like... I don't know, raw.
It's like wispy, airy,
to me, it's not wispy and airy. It's just like this light and like easy. And she doesn't have to like, because you think of Carrie Underwood. Yeah, like think of Carrie Underwood. She's like, rah, and like,
and she even gives like a woo when she's done because it took so much,
it's so much energy. And it's like, she can do all these things where like Kacey just sings and it's just like, I don't know. It's just so simple. Maybe it's the fact that it's so simple and yet so beautiful. And it's just like,
And I thought that she was comforting Willie Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I saw nervousness in Willie. Mm-hmm. I saw anxiety in Willie, but I saw bravery. Mm-hmm. But I saw Casey kind of being like she was the more powerful person in that moment from a keeping everything going standpoint. Like, and I think like she had to bring her voice to match his. She sang mm-hmm. with him. She never wanted him to feel out of that moment. And I thought that she did such a great job of bringing him into that moment. Like, because everyone was thinking the same thing, but she made us not dwell on it. She made everything okay in that little moment. It was a sense of peace. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, that, and I'm trying to think, I know that song, and I'm trying to think if that's a Willie song, and where are, like, and don't, isn't it, don't burn it, Bert and Ernie sing that song?
I want to say it was like a Sesame Street, Disney, something like that. It wasn't Mr. Rogers or somebody?
Yeah, somebody. And I was like, where
did Googling it right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out.
Because she has a song called Rainbow.
Right.
Which was only, her version.
Which is like, she only got to sing the last line of her song. You know what I mean? At the very last line when they sang, that was her.
I'm typing it in. Big long thing here. It was Kermit the Frog.
Oh, okay. Yes, I knew it had to be something.
But it was around the same time as Bert and Ernie, though, for sure. And it says...
I want to know who originally wrote it.
So Willie Nelson's Deep River of Song, early demos, recent debuts, invisible hits. I think we'll be here all day trying to really figure that out. I typed in what...
Rainbow Connection, song from 1979, this Muppets movie, written by Paul Williams and some guy named Kenneth Asher, performed by Kermit the Frog. Okay, so yeah, it's totally like a...
It's Kermit.
Kermit.
Muppet Babies, right?
God, yeah, I mean...
What was that? Jim Henson.
And you know, like watching people's faces in the audience, like the folks from Lady A, they were just kind of like in awe. And I think a lot of it is because they're kind of around my age and our age. And so like they grew up with that song and then hearing them sing it, it was just kind of awesome.
Well, yeah, I think everyone looked up to Willie Nelson. And let's just be like, again, it's the elephant in the room. Willie's health is always on everyone's mind. You know, he has battled the last few years, you know, and so to see him up there, you know, was just such a majestic moment. You know, I guess moving forward, you're grinning like you're looking something up.
Oh, yeah,
here.
No, I'm trying to figure out how old is Willie?
I'm going to go with 83.
Okay. 86.
Oh, he's there. I mean, mm-hmm. 86, he's almost 90.
Yeah.
So he's 3 years older than my grandfather.
Yeah. Holy crap. Wait, hey, what is today's date?
Today's November 14th.
You know, oh my goodness, he is at Billy Bob's tonight.
Yes, I saw that.
Tomorrow and Saturday.
Doing back-to-back shows.
I swear to God. Wait, is that for real? That cannot be for real. Oh my goodness. Willie Nelson family. Let's see
That's right, though. Someone tweeted me that they're going to go see him in Fort Worth, so I think it is accurate.
Dang. I mean, yeah. Tomorrow. Well, then he's in Lake Charles on Saturday.
Man, should we make the drive?
I'm going to see Joe Rogan Saturday. He's going to be at Smart Financial Center on Monday.
Oh, man. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty awesome to see, too.
And then he's going to be down in Galveston on Saturday.
Wow. Maybe he'll listen to the podcast.
Every single day he is. I mean, good God, does this man take a vacation?
I don't think so.
The entire month of December off. He's good.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So if you're listening right now and you want to see Willie Nelson, good luck getting tickets.
Yeah, there you go.
So the Luke Combs, are they booing him or are they cheering Luke, became a topic of discussion last night.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think at first I was like, is that a boo? And I'm like, Luke, that's what.
So someone on Twitter talked about how, so Luke Combs from Carolinas.
Okay.
And in Carolina, Luke Kuechly is a big defensive player for them on the Carolina Panthers. And they always chant, Luke. Apparently that is a big Carolina thing to yell, Luke, anytime
gotcha.
You're cheering for a Luke guy. So I'm thinking because he was in Nashville, fairly close to, you know, their Bridgestone Arena, he was fairly close to the Carolinas. He had a lot of hardcore fans there that were just, Luke. Like he had maybe his friends from high school, but he looked so nervous the whole night.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Or drunk, one or the other.
Here's what I thought it was. So when you saw him on stage performing his song, Beer Never Broke My Heart, he looked fine, right? You know, he's wearing his Luke
Columbia
Holmes
shirt.
Yeah, he's got his fishing shirt on, his baseball cap. And then you see him off stage and sitting next to his fiance, and all of a sudden he's in a tuxedo, no hat. I mean, I thought maybe he's nervous because he's wearing a real fancy outfit and no hat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely thought he was nervous and drinking his nerves away. There was no doubt about it. Yeah, well, he had a cup the whole time. And I thought that he kept on telling his wife, was like, hey, the camera's on. He smile. He's like, oh, he's taking a sip, boy.
Well, there was one performance. I can't remember who it was, but, you know, his fiance is like smiling and he's just like, like he had this like dumbfounded look on his face. And it was kind of funny because I don't think he realized the camera was looking at
him. Well, that was I was listening to somebody, I think it was Ryan Hurd in an interview I was watching of his, where he's talking about how at these award shows, that camera is just fixated on you at all times. And you see the red light go and you know that you're on now and they're watching for your reaction at all times. And so I think that the wives are always better at that. And I think that's important, though, that if you're the star, you have someone on watching the camera for you. Hey, the camera's on. You smile. Hey, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think
but
that's.
But act natural.
But act natural, yeah. And yeah. Naturally act entertained.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the full list of all the different performances, too. I thought Pink and Chris Stapleton was super awesome.
Yep.
And then Halsey was super great. I loved her. She was super hot.
It was kind of crazy seeing G-Eazy sitting in the audience with her.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I missed that. So,
apparently they're back together.
Or they just go to country shows together.
Maybe.
Maybe it's an open relationship.
Maybe it's the heart wants what the heart wants, Nick. Don't fight it.
You had to lose you to love myself, or, you know, whatever that song is called. That's Selena Gomez. But point is, what was I going to say? See, the five-hour energy is already getting me distracted. That's what it was. So this was for the first award show where both Miranda and Blake both performed.
Yeah. And there's a rumor that after Blake's performance, everybody, you know, stood up and clapped. Except for Miranda and her husband.
Really?
Uh-huh.
There's got to be some video on the internet going around.
I know.
With that.
I'm
don't think she would have done that, though, because I mean, if she did that, then that's like gunpowder and lead. It never goes away, you know? Mm-hmm. But if she didn't do it, then I wouldn't be surprised either. You know what I mean?
Wait, what is the lyrics? What is it? Miranda Lambert, It All Comes Out in the Wash lyrics. Because I wanted to see if
she was being a little sassy, but
I wanted to see if she changed the lyrics to her.
Because she makes a little Oklahoma jab or no?
I don't know. You drunk dialed your ex-husband and don't remember a thing. Okay, yeah, no, that's the lyrics then. I thought maybe she had changed it to your ex.
You want to know what I actually thought, though, when I saw Blake perform? And then I thought what I just kind of told you, how, mm-hmm. Oh, look, the first show they performed at. What I really thought was they're really professional. Like, at the end of it all, Blake gets up there, he performs his butt off. Miranda got up, she performed her butt off, and they just did their job. They just showed up, did a great job, and got out of there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I give them both a lot of credit for that. They weren't childish at all. It was like maybe it took a while for them to both be comfortable being there at the same time, or maybe just the stars aligned, you know?
Or maybe, I mean, maybe there's a lot more that goes into it, you know? Because you hear about pop artists that don't like each other, and they have like these little riffs where I can't be performing at the same time, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
like,
I'm sure they were on different sides of the room too.
That's
I guarantee you they kept them on opposite sides, and just for the sake of tact, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like because if you're the director and you put them together, then you're a jerk. Like in my opinion, you're just asking for extra drama. You know?
Oh, but could you imagine if they were sitting next to each other?
Oh,
oh my God! I mean, the Twitter sphere would be like on fire. It'd probably break the internet.
Oh, that'd be nuts. But I don't think they would agree to it. There's no way. I'd be like, no, I'm sorry, I'm sitting over there. Oh, that made me think. One of my favorite moments was Midland and Jimmy Allen. When they were all on stage, and Jimmy Allen could be part of the band, and he would have fit in just fine.
Well, and then the boys of Midland, like, okay, way to screw that one up, yeah.
Yeah, they were just a train wreck.
Oh, God bless
And then Blanco Brown, and
the Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, yeah, that was kind of a funny kind of interaction too.
I didn't know what the little man satchel thing was. I was like,
when I met him, he had a giant bag with him. I think it's just part of his fashion.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, he just wears that, I'm pretty sure.
All right, because I was like, is this like some piece that his stylist told him to wear?
Oh, yeah, he's total Mr. Style.
Okay.
And then I guess the other big one was Garth Brooks winning Entertainer of the Year.
Oh, people were all bent out of shape or whatever about it.
Yeah, a lot of people were unhappy that Carrie Underwood didn't win. At least I say that because those are the only people who reached out to me on social media. The people who came after me on social media about congratulating Garth said they thought Carrie Underwood and Eric Church were robbed, which I can't disagree. You love your favorite artist. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Better luck next year. But
yeah, I think I think a lot of people probably thought Carrie should win because she hosted, she had the big tour, she had the album come out, and then she had the backing of Miranda going on this like campaign to have Carrie win the Entertainer of the Year, and everybody was talking about that, so I think that's probably where some people's disappointment. I think Eric Church not winning, I'm a little disappointed he didn't win anything. I mean, he had a really big tour. I mean, it was like, I don't know if it was like the biggest grossing tour or the highest attendance or something, but he did so many shows, had a good album.
I really thought that it was just the year, because it was 2015 when Garth did the two shows in Toyota Center back-to-back, four shows back-to-back. He did two nights, four shows, and he sold them all out.
Did he do it over two weekends?
Maybe it was two weekends. Maybe it was two Saturdays in a row.
I feel like it was two Saturdays. Like, you could go...
Two nights, four shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because July 4th was the one I went to, and I went to the early show July 4th.
Yeah.
But what I was saying is he didn't win that year, and he didn't win the next year. But he didn't stop touring like that. He kept on doing that, and I think that he finally convinced the voting base to vote for him. And that's...
Again.
And it took 4 years to equal what most artists can do in a year, but it's because you're convincing voters. It's like a boxing match, and you go to the cards, and the judges decide if you win. And at the end of the day, I don't... And then there's also the entertainment performer aspect of it. I love Carrie Underwood. Unbelievable voice. But on stage, compared to Garth Brooks, it's just a different show.
It is. So I guess it's really how are you entertained? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, because even who would you say are two of the biggest country stars in the last 20, 30, 40 years? Probably George and Garth, mm-hmm. right? Completely different styles on stage.
Absolutely.
And people are rabid fans for both of them.
Yeah, and George is the only artist... Arguably the only artist that could do a tour, anything that compared to what Garth has done in the last 4 years and sell out that way. Because he sold them out. It wasn't like there were scraggling tickets laying around. Sold out show after show after show. And I was at Carrie Underwood at Toyota Center. She didn't sell it out.
No, she didn't. And it's funny because I was just listening to old interviews from when I did, I went to the CMA Awards when they were in New York City. First time ever covering an award show. Sat down with both Garth and Reba McEntire. If you can, you know, I mean, that's huge, right? And I listened back to the Reba interview. It was funny because she was touring with George Strait that year.
Holy smokes.
And I was like, I mean, both of you are huge artists. Like, that's going to be amazing. And it was just interesting to hear her talk about it and know that, hell, that was almost 10 years ago that happened. You know what I mean? It's amazing.
Was my prediction that Reba's coming to Rodeo in 2020. I think I've already said that once on the podcast.
I think you have, and I would not doubt that.
And I'm putting Blake Shelton on that now also.
Why? Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Blake Shelton, Reba McEntire, Miranda Lambert, Dan and Shay, Old Dominion. Those are the names that I think are coming. Hmm. Kane Brown. Mind you, I will also, if someone listened to this right now somehow and found it, it is pure speculation on my behalf.
Oh yeah. This is like straight up prediction. So, yeah, I can definitely see Reba cause I think they'll bring like that old school,
Alan Jackson. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back.
Cause
they can put him on a Tuesday night and he'll sell it out or they'll have great numbers. That's what I think.
Okay. So you said, Reba. Dan and Shay, I can see that one. I was kind of thinking maybe a Zach Brown.
Well, he's a perennial. He comes a lot. But Blake Shelton is the other one I said.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. And possibly Miranda, because remember I interviewed her. I was like, hey, saw the tour. There's no Houston stop. Oh, yeah. And like, I can't remember her exact answer. Maybe that'll change.
Well, no, she said it's not that far.
Yeah.
But I think that anytime those big artists have a tour around rodeo and there's not a date mentioned in March, then that they're coming. I think Midland will be there also.
Oh, yeah. That's what, because what?
Oh, yeah. Midland has the Road to Rodeo tour.
Yes.
And it starts with San Antonio Rodeo, and then one of their stops is in Goliad, my hometown, at Schrader Hall, and that's like March 2nd or March 3rd, which puts them right in the neighborhood to be at Rodeo Houston.
I'm going to go with Casey Musgraves back at Rodeo, too. And by the way, going back to the Garth Brooks Entertainer of the Year, he won it in 2019, this year, 2017, and 2016. So he did win those years.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So now do you feel bad for Carrie and Eric?
A little bit, but not really. Honestly, it really comes down to entertainer. Like, and again, like, I know it is a hard, you would be hard pressed to criticize Carrie Underwood in any way. And it's not critical. I'm not being critical of Carrie Underwood. I'm saying in the world where you are forced to compare the two to cast a vote, which both of us did. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go through my own experience. And you know, another big factor for me, Garth Brooks is super accessible. He meets with people. He hangs out with you. Carrie Underwood was super inaccessible. You know, maybe she was more open to other radio people or other people. You know, she did do a meet and greet, but like Garth was always more than welcoming, at least to me, in some respect.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll second that, because the time when he was in town for all of those shows when he was on tour with Trisha, each of us got to go backstage and meet Garth individually along with Trisha. And which is, I mean, there you are, if you can envision it, you're in a room and you're just hanging out on these couches and you're waiting for Garth and Trisha to come in and talk to you. And then they come in, they're like, I mean, I know about your experience, and we'll talk about that here in a second. For me, it was Trisha walking in the room. She's like, hey, you know, what color do you think these walls are? And I was like, she's like, I just really like this color of gray. And I'm thinking that, you know, in our house, I should repaint one of the rooms, and I'm trying to like match it. And so she brings out, and she goes, and you know, Sherman Williams has this like amazing app where you can take a picture of the paint and it'll tell you what color it is. And I was like, what? And it's like, and then the conversation flowed from there, and it's just
and they did that with everyone. That experience we had with Garth and Trisha was countrywide with the voters for this particular award.
Yeah, and the
they didn't even know if
you
were a voter or not. They didn't know if we were voters.
Oh yeah,
but that was the
time we weren't.
Yeah, true. But that kindness resonates. It's politics at the end of the day. It's like shaking hands and kissing babies. And maybe Carrie doesn't have to do that to achieve the success she does, but Garth knew he did have to, and he did. And I think that's...
Well, I disagree. I don't think he needs to. I mean, I think I think he just does it because he does it. You know, like...
That's
even
just his way of doing it? That's the way he does business?
I think, yeah, because, I mean, I've heard stories about Garth, you know, living in Tulsa. And there was somebody saw him walk into a gas station.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
And this woman, and this is back in the days where they had disposable cameras. And so she was like at the gas station, like scrambling to get one of the disposable cameras so she could take a picture of Garth in the gas station. And he was like, hey, you want me to take a picture with you? Yeah, we can do that. And, you know, and then like when he got out of the music business all those years ago, he paid for all of his people's like health insurance for like the next 5 years or something ridiculous. It was like... He's
a super kind person. It's not an act.
Yeah. And heck, even if it is an act, You know what? It's the best act ever, and you know what? Keep doing it.
Yeah, like, I agree. And he just has a special way of making people feel special. Right. And, you know, there one of our coworkers here in the building, his wife got to meet her for the first time at one of the performances at Rodeo, and this was probably my fourth time meeting him. It was her first time. And she told him about this story about when she was 16 and she bought tickets to go see him at this little bar in like Arkansas or something crazy.
Yes.
And he remembered the exact place and then made her, she burst into tears because he remembered so much of that moment that she remembered. And he wasn't lying.
And
he was being real.
And you know what? I have a very similar story. So back in the day when he did, you know, he was doing that Chris Gaines thing. Mm-hmm. So my ex-husband at the time, we were just dating, but they were doing this little flyaway, and he was in Top 40 programming. So he flew to Chicago. We flew to Chicago to go check out this Chris Gaines performance, and we get to meet Garth, and they introduce us, and hey, this is so-and-so, and this is his, you know, girlfriend, and she works in country radio. And he like, oh, you work in country radio. Where do you live? And, oh, yeah, we live in Portland. And he's like, oh, yeah, the Rose Garden. Yeah, love playing there. Da-da-da. Like, he remembered the venue and remembered things about the town. Like, again, even if he's faking it, he's good at it. And it's
and he's
like,
so good at it that he makes you feel special.
Yes.
And that in itself is an X factor that can't be measured when it comes to artists and talents.
Yeah.
And another thing about Garth Brooks was his acceptance speech. He talked about other people.
Oh, that was so crazy to me. Because he talked about Kelsey Ballerini and Luke Combs, and I just wondered, did they kind of, well, crap their pants a little bit when he's up there and he like called them out, you know?
Yeah, you know, and to me, I thought Kelsey's performance was super powerful. I liked the song. It's not something that I jam on repeat, Homecoming Queen.
Yeah.
But I thought she absolutely knocked it out of the park in that performance. That's the way the song was meant to be heard. And when Garth said, man, you talk about what's an entertainer, shrinking a giant room full of people down to one person with a guitar, and that's what Kelsey Ballerini did tonight. Amazing. Like, that was, to me, that was
super cool of him to.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because she didn't win an award. She was nominated. She, you know, and Kelsey can kind of, I feel like sometimes she can kind of shrink in comparison to Carrie Underwood's in them because she's not quite there yet as far as like the length of career. She's still a budding artist. She's still growing into herself. She's kind of growing into her wings and her style. And so she still has that growth to go. So I think that kickstart from Garth had to, like, that's where that, or that, I say kickstart, that gesture.
Compliment. Yeah, well, the compliment, I mean, maybe that's got some weight. Maybe that'll.
Well, she posted that piece on her Instagram, and as I told you earlier, now me and Kelsey Ballerini have something in common, and that Garth has given me a shout out while on stage before.
Oh God! See, you know what? He created a monster.
Well, you know what? He did. But you know, you made a comment earlier. You wish you had the confidence I had, or whatever, all the time. And I'm not always the most confident person, but I've always believed in myself strongly. And at that time, I was the night guy. I'd been, you know, I had this grandiose idea that somehow I was way more important than I really was. But there was this, I was kind of crawling back to a place in my life that to equal where I'd come from, if you will, right? I had a job. I'd been knocked down to where I was part-time here at the Bull. I was doing full-time, living the high life in San Antonio, get knocked down, come to Houston, you know, kind of crawling back, grinding, trying to earn my keep. And then here I am in this moment where Garth Brooks, somebody who I've been looking up to my entire life, makes this like, you know, he kind of compliments me on asking him a question backstage, gives me a shout out from the stage. And it was kind of one of those moments for me, solidified I was where I was supposed to be.
Well, and what's interesting is I think you get a lot of those moments, but you know what I mean? Like where I probably have never gotten any of those moments.
But you just said you interviewed Reba and Garth in the
yeah,
same
but
day.
I interviewed them both
in the same day.
Yeah, but no one's like, hey, met this Aaron chick and she's really awesome. Like,
well,
no,
Garth didn't actually say that.
No,
but
he didn't say that. But, you know, like, there's, I think of those other, like, big moments, you know, when you went viral and you know what I mean? Those are some other really cool, I guess, bragging moments, if you will. But I'm like, I don't know if I have any of those bragging moments.
But I also take a lot more shots.
Well, yeah, you're
like I shoot to go viral with every post I post. Like
that's true.
That's essentially the goal with everything I've ever posted, you know, and like I delete it if it doesn't get enough attraction. You know what I mean? but all that to say that I can relate to what Kelsey Ballerini was feeling. in that moment.
With Luke Combs.
And I will say one other thing, I guess, on a personal note to that respect, was that I had talked with my friends about why Garth would have done that. Like, what was it about my statement to him that made him do that? You know, like what was it? And I think that one of my friends told me was that he knew that I would take what he gave me and run with it. He knew that Garth is a smart man. He knew that for whatever reason he picked up from me, doing that for me was going to help me in some way that he knew it would help me. And I think it did.
I see what you're saying there. So kind of like...
It was
he didn't need to, but you know what? It's like, oh, this will make him feel good.
Yeah.
I guess, again, maybe it goes down to, the nice, you
guy
don't have
is.
To do nice things, but it's nice when you do nice things.
And
you
he
never
brought
know
me into his world just
make.
A little bit. Like, he gave me just a taste of what he experiences every time he's on stage, you know? And I think he did the same for Kelsey and then for Luke Combs. Like, for him to say that about Luke Combs, like, you know, you play that clip for me with Luke Combs saying that, oh, man, you know, for Garth, someone like Garth Brooks to say that about me, oh, I hope I don't screw this up. Or what did he say?
He said pressure's on.
Pressure's on, yeah. And so Garth brought Luke Combs and Kelsey Ballerini into his world in three sentences, you know? And
acknowledged them, gave them, I guess, I mean, they're already acknowledged among their peers because they were nominated and they won that night, but it takes them to another level, I think.
Yeah, and maybe that little bit of inspiration that they actually kind of secretly needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we could all use a little inspiration even when we feel on top of the world, you know? Like, there's always that little sliver of doubt in our mind even when we're at our best, you know? And so...
Heck, I mean, half the time I don't feel my best. I'm like, can I just get a cookie once in a while? Somebody compliment me. Somebody say something nice. But, dear God.
And then to have it come from Garth Brooks, you know, on that stage, I think it spoke volumes, you know? And I think that... And I was really also glad that he saw what I saw in Kelsey Ballerini last night. She was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing about Kelsey, I'll say that I think she's one of the hardest working women in country music. Like, she is about it. And you know what? Also, I noticed that Morgan Evans was nowhere to be found.
Morgan Evans was sitting right next to her.
Really?
Yes.
I never saw him.
What? Yeah, because you're too busy staring at her. God,
so.
Yeah,
I didn't
no,
see
he was
her.
He was next to her the entire time.
Well, I guess I went.
And when like she was nominated, he like. Gave her a hug or a kiss on the cheek or something, you know, when they...
I'm glad you're watching that stuff.
See? Yeah, yes.
Well, because
Tunnel vision, Nick. Also
on Instagram, I noticed that she had posted pictures. Maybe I didn't see the picture with her and Morgan, but I only saw a picture of her by herself on the red carpet.
Oh, well, you know they do that.
Oh,
on the red carpet. So there's pictures of Carrie Underwood with her husband, and then there's pictures without. So what they do is, you know... They will, hey, oh, it's so nice to see you guys. Okay, paparazzi's yelling at him, turn this way, turn that way. Okay, give me a little more smile. And then
now Morgan
like,
Evans, get out of the picture.
Yeah, no, pretty much, you know. So
golly.
Then there's, you know, so there's, what was I watching, like Extra or something, and they showed Carrie Underwood on the red carpet and her husband standing off in the corner just like, all right, what am I doing here, you know?
I guess I'm going to check my Twitter account.
And there's Carrie turning and turning and turning so they can get different angles of her dress.
All right, so I clearly need a red carpet tutorial, but I'm glad you were watching because I just was. It just made me feel a little uneasy for a second because I didn't see him and I never caught
well,
that part.
Well, you know
but...
whose husband wasn't there, and
who?
I was like,
who?
Kacey Musgraves. She brought Gigi Hadid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think that was there. Probably was maybe there's something with Halsey there.
No,
aren't they all friends?
No.
Why would she bring Gigi Hadid?
I don't know. I don't know how they became besties. I mean,
I went into that group.
Well,
I just want to hang out with them on the beach.
Yeah, just like...
Hey, don't mind me. I'm going to sit over here.
Can I just be in part of your beautiful woman sandwich?
Hey, do you mind if I just hang out with y'all? I just want to look.
Yeah, but, I don't... I didn't know they were friends either. I was like, interesting.
Or maybe she lives in Nashville.
Wait, well, what? Who?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just brainstorming ideas. Blame the 5-hour energy.
Well, I also was thinking, oh, interesting. Gigi Hadid is there in the front row with Kacey Musgraves and the girl that was the Bachelor... Bachelorette.
Oh, she was a presenter, right?
She was a presenter. The guy that she went after started hooking up with Gigi Hadid.
Oh, how's that for some...
What,
the one thing I did notice in the front row is Eric Church, Maren Morrison, Chris Stapleton, and their significant others. That was the front middle row. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, and you know what? Speaking of significant others, One thing you may not have noticed is Dustin Lynch debuted his girlfriend last night.
She is smoking. Unless this is an old girlfriend. Dark hair?
Dark hair.
Named blue eyes?
Yep.
Woo! Mm-hmm. Kelly Seymour?
Yep.
Is that right?
And I was like, interesting. I was like, one for the brunettes. Put a little hashtag in that corner. Yeah, I was like, yes.
And also, she's, I mean, no offense to Kelly Osbourne, way prettier.
I know.
I'm just kidding. I actually got to talk to him about that off the record. I mean, it was on the record, but it wasn't off the record. It was just backstage, whatever, 10-man jam. And he's like, oh, man, we've been friends for so long, and we just have fun with what people go with it. Like,
yeah, and I could totally see that.
And so Kelly Seymour, what do we know about this girl real quick? Let me see.
Apparently she is a model slash actress. I don't know if she's been in much. There was like some...
Social media influencer. She became a celebrity thanks to Instagram, a combination of selfies, swimsuit shots, and lifestyle pics with over 90,000 followers.
Oh my God, of course she did. Oh my God.
She was in the 2016 film Sorority Slaughterhouse.
Oh yeah.
And she appeared in the music video for Riff Raff's Dolce & Gabbana. But she's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, really pretty. I mean, born in 92,
gorgeous.
27. She's a Virgo, so she's obviously very nurturing.
Is that what that means? I didn't, yeah. Yeah, you just had me when you said she was born in 92. I think I almost fell off my chair.
I'm happy for the guy, though, you know? Like, a good woman will do good things for you, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, nothing like some dopamine from someone that you love and are attracted to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I could use some dopamine.
All right. Uh-huh. So we made it like 45 minutes, Aaron. That's a nice long podcast.
That's a record, and I think for the most part, we stayed on task.
We did.
Mm-hmm. For once. ADD didn't kill us today.
Yeah, neither did the 5-hour energy yet.
Right.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.